Absolute goosebumps when we hear that. It's a new segment here on the Morning Tailgate, Once a Raider, Always a Raider, where we get to talk to one of the proud members of the Raiders alum. And today, very special guest, former Raiders wide receiver, TJ Hoogemanzada. TJ, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Man, how y'all doing? Glad you have me. Glad to be with y'all.
Well, let's just get right into it. You're a man who wore the silver and black. You also wore that purple, and it seems only fitting as the two meet in week two. First, before we look ahead to week two, I'm just curious what you saw out of the silver and black week one. Obviously, I know you played in those Chargers-Raiders rivalries and how much that means to the organization and to the team at that particular time. What did you see week one?
Well, I was surprised that the Raiders' defensive front, or front seven, weren't able to contain the Chargers from running the ball. I mean, you know, going into the game, Harbaugh is going to be he's going to play a physical brand of football. They're going to run the ball. You know what was coming. And they still, well, J.K. broke off a couple big runs. But for the Raiders to have success, they can't turn the ball over. Do not turn the ball over. Do not put the defense in terrible situations. If they do that, they got a chance. But week one, I was shocked. Knowing Harbaugh wants, and they ran the ball at will very effectively.
Yeah, and coupled with those turnovers, as you said, TJ, that's just a recipe for disaster. Speaking about Harbaugh, it's week two of Harbaugh. In this case, John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens. That's where the Raiders are headed next. And we've been talking, TJ, about Lamar Jackson, and you know, looking at the box score from their game against the Kansas City Chiefs, 16 carries led the team.
122 yards.
Right, exactly. Which is, and I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan. As a fan of football, I love to see it. I want to see more of it. But at the same time, and here's the fine line with that, and I want to get your thoughts on this. He's missed a practice already this week. Presumably, he's a little bit banged up, maybe from the kind of runs that he made against the Chiefs. And I'm sure you watched the game. He was dishing out physicality, not running from it. And how much of that is, all right, it's great, and you want him to do that because that's a big part of his game. But how careful do you also need to be with Lamar Jackson if you are the Ravens, in terms of preserving him over the course of 17 games? And for their purposes, they want to be playing into February.
That isn't sustainable. They know that. Lamar Jackson knows that. Playing the Chiefs was, for Lamar, it was a different type of game. The way he played that game, it showed you he really wanted to win, and he was willing to do whatever it takes. I'm going to be sore the following week, which I'm sure Monday and Tuesday, he felt terrible, probably feels a little better today, but he was willing to do whatever it took to win that game. But if you're the Ravens and you are watching that game of the Chargers and the Raiders, you feel good because the Ravens want to run the ball. They just acquired Derrick Henry, so they're going to watch that tape and say, oh, we feel good about what we see and what we will probably be able to do. But when you look at it from the Raiders side of it, this is what we needed, because now we're playing two teams back-to-back that want to run the ball on us. Where did we go wrong in week one? We are going to fix it. I know AP very well. I know Marvin Lewis very well. They're going to get their run defense fixed. And so it could be perfect timing that they're playing the Ravens because of the problems that they had Sunday, I don't believe will be a problem this Sunday.
It's former Raider TJ Hoogemanzada here with us on the Morning Tailgate. 11 years in the league, FS1 analyst. And when you think about the way defenses are trying to stop Lamar, you obviously know that the Raiders, they want to play some zone, make him check it down, but can they get pressure with four?
Can the Raiders get pressure? Is that what you're asking me? do you know who wear number 98? The Raiders? Can they get pressure? Is water wet? Man, they got Max Crosby over there. I don't care who they playing. Hell yeah, they can get pressure. With Max Crosby on the D-line, you're getting pressure against any and everybody.
Yeah, is a bluebird blue?
Man, you're like, y'all act like Max Crosby ain't like the guy with all the tattoos. Hell yeah, they can get pressure with no problem.
My question about that, though, is you also have to be disciplined in that with Lamar Jackson. Maybe not so much with a non-athletic quarterback or mobile quarterback. So where's the fine line there, TJ, in terms of getting that pressure on him, but also making sure that he doesn't escape that pressure? In other words, building that fence around him.
You want guys to be disciplined in their rush lanes. You want Christian Wilkins, who you paid a ton of money, mm-hmm. to get that push up the middle. So now, Lamar, where do you escape?
Yeah.
You got Max coming on the outside. You got Christian coming up. Where can you escape? And so guys just need to be disciplined in their rush lanes. I mean, it's human nature when you feel you have a sack. you have a tendency to be somewhat undisciplined. Let me go this way when I know I should be here because I got this sack. Oh, wow, Lamar just got out of this. And so you have to be disciplined. You have to be selfless for the betterment of the team. And whoever gets the sack gets the sack. If you can do that, you for sure have a chance. But for the Ravens, they need to win this game. Mm. And so they're going to give everything that they have. Gardner Minshew, you are the starter because you are the veteran. Don't turn the ball over. That's why we're starting you.
Yeah.
Don't turn it over.
TJ, you brought up your obviously relationship with Antonio Pierce and Marvin Lewis. You know, the one thing that Antonio Pierce kind of stuck out to me that he said all offseason when it comes to being the head guy, the permanent guy for this Raiders team, is to not make emotional decisions, right? And when you have a week one game where there's so much energy and amped up atmosphere around like getting to 1-0 and then you fall short of that, you know, he's always talked about relying on guys like Marvin Lewis, Tom Coughlin, to kind of help keep him in check, but also make sure, you know, he's helping steer the ship the right way. I'm curious, in your experience with both those guys, what is the confidence level as Raider Nation gets set for week two that, you know, it's not going to be an emotional, like, throw everything out. It's stay the course, keep the process above the results.
Oh, that's mandatory. You don't overreact. Think about what I'm about to say. Good or bad, everybody overreacts after week one. Everybody. The fan base, some coaches may, owners, you overreact. Oh, we're really good. We just won. You play 17 games. Every week is independent of the other. Like, they don't connect. You win on Sunday, so what? You got to win next Sunday. Everything is independent. And so they're going to get the problems fixed. AP is not going to panic. He's been down this road. He's won plenty of big games. He's lost big games. You keep on going. The same with Marvin Lewis. Like, Marvin is a little calmer now than he was when I played for him. But they're good. These dudes are defensive, not just minds, geniuses. They're going to figure this out. And so I have no doubt in my mind that they'll get this figured out. The defense will be much better. Tell my boy, Jack Jones, stop fighting. Go out there and get some picks. And I look forward to a really, really better defensive performance by the Raiders.
Yeah, and conversely, on the other side of the football, like you said, you can't have turnovers. I'm looking right at Gardner Minshew when it comes to that. But the other disappointing part of Sunday's offensive performance was the utter lack of a running game. And that's something that that AP wants to hang his hat on. You know, Marvin Lewis wants to hang his hat on. And that starts up front, obviously, with the offensive line. But as AP talked about, it also requires running backs running, you know, with the proper pad level and fighting through tackles. We didn't see enough of that on Sunday. You mentioned that they'll get it together defensively. They'll correct the mistakes defensively. How do you go about making sure that running game shows up in Baltimore?
You know, the running game is a collection of everybody doing their job. It's not just the offensive line. It's the tight ends. It's the receiver mm-hmm. blocking. It's the running back being patient. And so whether it's Zamir White, Madison, Abdullah, whoever it is, you got to be patient. The O-line needs to block. The tight ends need to block. The receivers need to do their part. And this is why football is the ultimate team game, because you need 11 guys doing their job every single play. And that is going to, for AP in the way they want to play football, you got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to run the ball. And so whether the offensive line performance wasn't up to par, get better. If it was the tight end, the receivers, the running backs, just with their patience and pressing the hole. You know, I remember running backs always saying, we want to be slow to it, but fast through it. You want to press, set these blocks up for the offensive lineman, then make it cut. And so they need to get on the same page. And if they do that, things will start to take off. It's going to click. You just want it to click sooner than later.
TJ, can you describe that year that you joined the Raiders? Hugh Jackson was the head coach. But when you joined the team, it also coincided after Al Davis's passing. What do you remember most from that year?
I'll be honest, you know, I'm an honest person. First of all, I played with the Raiders 1 year, man. The Raiders people treat me like I played there for so many years. It's so crazy what Callie Welch and those people, man, y'all treat me so good. I played there 1 year. I'll say that. But, you know, it's like, you know, you watch TV, they're like, oh, the Raiders are terrible, this is terrible. When I got to the Raiders, I was expecting terrible. And I was like, oh, man, this is way better than they talk about. What are they talking about? No lie, I'm being honest. I'm not just saying that because I'm doing this interview with y'all. This is the truth. I tell people this all the time.
Cool.
Like, I was thoroughly surprised because I expected it to be a certain way because all you see on TV. And it was great. It was fantastic. And so I have nothing but positive things to say because my experience was nothing that I thought it was going to be. And maybe I'm wrong for thinking that, but that was all you see and hear. But the Raiders have shown me nothing but love. But aside from myself, from the football perspective, when I was there, everything was really, really good. I think Mark Davis is doing a hell of a job. They just need to... We know this. We know this. I'm not saying anything that everybody doesn't know. If the Raiders can get good quarterback play, that defense is not going to play like that every week. I can guarantee you that. If they can get quarterback play, you look at that roster, they right there with everybody. And so that will be the key, whether that's Minshew, that's O'Connell, that's somebody that isn't on the roster right now. I don't know. You give them solid quarterback play, they will be right there at the end every single season.
TJ, we'll let you go on this one, but you mentioned it at the top of your last answer. You know, the segment's called Once a Raider, Always a Raider, and this organization makes that more than just a saying. So when you're talking about, man, that you've been there 1 year, 9 games, right? And it feels like you'd been there your entire career. You've been to different organizations. The Raiders just do it different, right?
That's a fact. No lie. Hey, as the youngsters would say, no cap. I'm just bit like, they treat me like I played there for 9 years. I'm telling you. And every time I see Callie, I tell her that because it's the truth. Like, when they want a Raider, always a Raider. People, you know, they'll say that. The Raiders really mean that. They really almost cursed. I had to catch myself because it's the truth. If you play for the Raiders, they show you love. And so I could imagine if I feel like this, if it was 1 year for me, like, goodness gracious, how they treat the guys that play 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Like, wow.
That is TJ Houshmandzadeh, 11-year NFL vet, one-time Raider, but again, once a Raider, always a Raider.
No
TJ,
doubt.
Thank you so much for your insight. We appreciate you, and we'll chat down the road.
Man, y'all take care, fellas. Appreciate you.
You too.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
That was awesome. You know, it's cool because when he talked about, hey, wide receivers have to block, I remember he was like the premier blocking wide receiver. And when it was he and Chad Johnson, that was a extremely difficult offense to stop with Carson Palmer when they had everything rolling in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and they were both from Oregon State, right?
Sounds right.
They're on the same team together. They kicked Notre Dame's ass.
That's why he remembers that.
In the Fiesta Bowl.
That's why he remembers.
In the Fiesta Bowl. Yeah, that's when I first heard about TJ and Chad Johnson. But anyway, he real quick, he brought up something, and this is what's so frustrating about the Raiders, because he's spot on. You just get good quarterback play.
It's there. That's it.
Because, you know, you want to talk about the running game.
We can break down everything till we're blue in the face,
because
Vinny.
The running game, to me, if you don't respect the passing, you know, it's much easier to stop the run when you as a defense don't really have a ton of respect, you know, for what's going on with the quarterback and the passing game. It just makes defending the Raiders that much easier. And so, but Gardner can do something about that by, you know, elevating his play. And I know that the statistics look kind of good, you know, with the 75% completion.
They're
percentage.
Misleading. Especially when you look at the underlying numbers, right. And you see that he was in bottom five in terms of average
right.
throw. He was, I believe it was about 4.8 was his average distance.
Those are just throwing. Those are other runs, basically.
We've lived through the dink and dunk era.
Derek stretched the field. Derek can drive the ball down the field. There's a reason why he was throwing for 4,000 yards. X amount of straight years.
But what I'm saying is, if fans were frustrated with
right.
Derek and his thing, he pushed. He threw it up.
Right, exactly.
May not have always panned out all the time, but he at least threw it up.
Yes.
It's one game at the end of the day.
Right.
As TJ said, it's the biggest overreaction week of the entire season is after week one, whether you won or lost. But, yeah, just get a good quarterback play.
Yeah, that's why I'll fully say this. I was a little bit surprised that it wasn't Aiden coming out of training camp, because I felt like Aiden is the superior thrower of the ball. He can stretch a field a little bit more. He has a more arm strength than Gardner, and with how Antonio kind of wants to attack teams. I did feel like maybe that was the best option, but they went with the wily veteran guy that's going to take care of the ball and, you know, give them that veteran presence. Well, the very thing that they were counting on from Gardner Minshew, the veteran, kind of bit them a little bit on Sunday with those two key turnovers, including the massive fumble that he had. But as TJ said, if you can avoid that, obviously should change, you know, games or put the Raiders in a much better place. But it's frustrating.
How about TJ? 9 games as a Raider. Said it felt like he'd been here 9 years.
Treated like he's been, his whole career was set up here.
And you think that's like a one-off. It's not.
Everybody we talk to.
And that's the beauty about this new segment, Once a Raider, Always a Raider. That's the kind of stuff you're going to hear and stuff that you don't always
we'll get
hear
Eric
from
Dickerson
these guys.
On.
And yeah, well, and
because he's once a Raider, always a Raider himself.
Exactly, and treated like they'd been here
their
entire career. He scored one touchdown for the Raiders, but it's one of those that they'll be remembered.
Join them in November. You know what I mean? It's like still playing meaningful ball, but at the same time, recognized as somebody who had been here from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey guys and ladies, are you in a position right now where you need some cash fast? Maybe a bill just dropped on your lap out of nowhere, and you're like, oh, my, this is the worst possible timing for this $500, maybe $5,000 bill that just, you know, snuck up on you. And maybe you're in that position, and you're losing a little bit of sleep. Maybe you're worried because the credit cards are maxed out or the credit's not where it needs to be. How am I going to find this money? Well, look, don't worry and don't lose any sleep. Because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Here's what you do. Go to LendingStore.com, have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Don't lose sleep. Just head over to LendingStore.com for all the details.
More Silver and Black Talk with Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, and Vinny Bonsignor.
I want to sit down. This morning,
got yourself a gun. The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan.
Oh! Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Hey!
Vinny Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
Can the Raiders get pressure? Is that what you're asking me? Do you know who wear number 98 for the Raiders?
and they get pressure, is water wet? Man, they got Max Crosby over there. I don't care who they playing. Hell yeah, they can get pressure. With Max Crosby on the D-line, you getting pressure against any and everybody. Man, like, y'all act like Max Crosby ain't like the guy with all the tattoos. Hell yeah, they can get pressure with no problem.
TJ Ujmanzada, special guest on the final sit-down as well.
He wants a sit-down.
Is he the guy with all the tattoos? He's talking
about. Can the Raiders get pressure? Is that what you're asking me? Do you know who wear number 98 for the Raiders?
See, now that answer felt like he was in the final sit-down. That felt like one of those, what are we talking? I'm funny how? Like a clown? I amuse you?
How could that be? It was like the John McEnroe. Answer the question! Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, it's not just can they, but they must get pressure with four.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ronnie Stanley is awesome. Las Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
They have a good offensive line for a reason. But if you got to play zone, everyone's got to have a role here. And not unlike the Ravens, the Raiders do not want to go 0-2 in the AFC.
Yeah, and as we talked about, Vinny, it's just going to be a complete start anew.
It starts today over at the facility. We'll hear from Antonio Pierce.
Devontae
and Gardner.
We're going to get a lot of sound.
We will. I will be on with JT at 1 p.m. from the facility, by the way.
Ooh.
And it's televised somewhere. I'm trying to get all the details. I think it's on the YouTube channel or some channel. So check that out. It'll be on at 1 p.m. right after, basically after. Antonio goes and we get on the field to see who's out there, who's not out there. And I guess by that point, we'll find out if Lamar Jackson practiced today.
I mean, he's going to be out there, right?
I don't
know. I mean, 16 carries, 41 pass attempts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a real shame for Raider Nation if he didn't practice, right?
I love watching Lamar play, so I'm definitely rooting, obviously. We don't root for injuries under any circumstance. I want to see the
best. At the end of the day,
I want to see best against best.
We cover the game because we were once fans of the game, but as members of the media, there's no rooting interest.
Uh-uh.
We just like to see the best of the best be the best. And Lamar Jackson is the reigning MVP.
Yep, he is.
So it'll be interesting what we'll get on Wednesday. We have a couple more days to break it down. We're going to talk to a Ravens beat writer.
Yeah, Bo Smolka will join us, formerly from the Baltimore Sun. He'll join us, and he's been writing some interesting thoughts on, like, you know, where are the Ravens at on their offense, especially coming off that week one because they had the early practice this week on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously we think the Raiders are going to practice indoors today just because of the poor air quality due to the fires in our surrounding states around us.
Yeah.
So
all the best to everybody, including the firefighters
absolutely.
Who are doing their job.
The smell is gone, or are we just used to it that it's
still here?
It's still here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, we're going to be walking into the facility and we're all going to be smelling like hickory. You know what I mean?
My meteorologist colleagues tell me that the smoke should clear out by late this afternoon. And then cooler temps should be on the way.
Nice. We love to hear
low
that.
Low 90s, possible 80s?
Woo!
Here in Vegas?
That's beautiful.
I mean, the switch is just going to flip at some point. Where it's just going to go from where it's just gross hot to just it's going to be cold.
Yep.
I love that.
It does switch. And then you like start having the conversations. Do we like this better or do we like the heat better? Or
give me the cold.
I agree.
Give me the cold. Clay, you're a Vegas guy, though. You like the heat, don't you?
You tend to like gravitate towards stuff after 28 years of living in this. You make choices, you know? It's like, yeah. But you got to get the kids' school gear ready.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have like the long sleeve shirts, the jeans ready, all that stuff, because that's going to come in real quickly. And if you try to go to the stores as soon as that switch is flipped, you're in trouble. All right. So you got to get it now.
Yeah. Today's a busy day, guys. Got to get, you know, the Raiders. Got to listen in on all that. I'm running over to UFC. It's the official start of fight week.
Yeah.
Noche UFC. UFC 306. Saturday at the Sphere. I was at the Sphere for the NHL draft. It was amazing. It was incredible. When we, speaking of Adam Hill asked if he got to see, if asked Dana at that time, did you see what the NHL did?
Mm.
And he goes, what the NHL did compared to what we do is going to be like kids with crayons.
I love that. I love the confidence.
$20 million he's poured into this one night only event, Dana White.
Incredible.
On Friday, we're going to talk to the vice president of brand and creative for the UFC, get a little sneak peek of what fans can expect.
And there's a big fight going on that night, too.
It's the one fight since I've been covering the sport in over 8 years, which is it's the one fight where have megastars on this card. Megastars.
We're talking about the Canelo fight.
We are not.
No, I'm saying there is a fight, too.
There is, but I'm saying there are megastars on this UFC fight card that are going to be Hall of Famers, and the venue is probably taking
the bigger
spotlight. Right. But, yes, there is another Canelo fight. Massive Canelo fight. Well, I guess that's
redundant.
And
that's over at T-Mobile?
Yes.
Or MGM?
I think it's T-Mobile.
All right.
Probably should check on that. But I'll be at the Sphere, so that's
why.
That's
I mean, obviously that was a one-upsmanship type thing, maybe, or
well, it kind of is, you know.
Dana wasn't happy about it, I'll just say that.
It's at T-Mobile, but it's like, you know, you got two of it's always important to have like the fight game as like your center stage moment, and then if like you kind of get superseded in your own town, you know, and there's always like that animosity. But it's really good for the sport itself, for the fight game, because it shows you that you can have a big crowd at T-Mobile Arena and also have this awesome crowd at the
and go
Sphere.
Check out the hotel rates, and you know who really benefits.
And Mexican Independence Weekend is this weekend, and typically, historically, it's always been a massive boxing weekend. Dana White is using that as saying, hey, you know, we're combat sports. This is a love letter to the Mexican people is how he's defined this event at the Sphere. So he says this will be a love letter to the Mexican people. It's a predominantly Mexican fighter-led card, led by the UFC women's flyweight champion Alexa Grasso, taking on Valentina Shevchenko, who calls Vegas home. So it's going to be a great weekend. Got a lot of great stuff tomorrow and Friday.
Harry Ruiz, our good friend.
Yes.
Team UFC on this weekend.
Is he?
Yes. He gave the old Noche. Is it Noche?
Noche UFC.
Noche UFC is superior to Canelo.
Wow.
Mm.
And I don't disagree with him.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with him. But Vinny.
Sounds like there's a massive underdog that he's fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, Canelo's going to win.
It's always a prohibitive. He's always a prohibitive favorite.
Prohibitive favorite,
or he's like minus 1,300 or something like this for the fight.
He's good. He's
Edgar Berenga, it's like, right, we'll see what happens. One of these days, you know, could catch somebody by surprise.
But Vinny's leaving for Baltimore here shortly.
Leaving actually tomorrow. I'll do the show and then headed to Kansas.
Kansas, UNLV.
Because UNLV is playing
trying to
Kansas
get ranked
on
for
Friday
the first
night.
Time.
And unfortunately for, you know, it would have been nice if Kansas had won last week.
Yeah, it would have been helpful.
And they would have been a top 25 team and offering UNLV an opportunity to go beat a top 25 team on the road. That would have been great feather in their cap. But that's not to be. But what the Rebels can do is go out there and win convincingly and just add to their resume, which is a growing resume. A game that I think is a sneaky game now that we look at it is that Syracuse game.
And he's bringing us crab cakes, Clay.
Hopefully they are fresh and not rather pungent because if it cuts through this odor like a knife, then I know we're in trouble. Hey, coming up next, we'll join Sam and Ash Injury Law for our weekly segment of Street Legal with Ash Watkins. She joins us next here. We'll talk about Tom Brady. We'll talk about the Tyreek Hill disturbance and when he was pulled over in Miami. All that goes through that and the process. What she thinks of what happened there with the Miami-Dade County Police, all that and more. It's Raider Nation Radio.
More Silver and Black Talk with Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker, and Vinny Bonsignor.
All right, you hear the music. You know it's time to get street legal with Sam and Ash Injury Law. It's Ash the attorney. Ash Watkins joins us every 9:45 on Wednesdays. Make sure you call the new number, 702-303-0333. Ash, thank you for joining us. All right, let's first get into this. All right, Sunday, you're sitting back. How does week one look for you? Because you got the Cowboys in prime time, and you got everything set out for you. Is this a part where you have to, you need like to be in a public place with, you know, you're engaged with the fans, or are you like in the compound all wrapped up in a blanket and CEO is taking care of everything?
Yeah, with the Cowboys early on, I prefer to stay in the comforts of my own home,
really?
Watch on the couch. I'm not ready for public humiliation just yet. That comes later in the season.
But this is the thing, because I know that you know, you're when it's time to do the work, you are nobody is stronger than you. Nobody is more focused. You have an acuity of a brain surgeon when it comes to negotiations as a lawyer. But I know when it's time for escapism and the Cowboys are on, it's all business, you know. And so for you, what was it like to have Tom Brady now doing the game of the week? And what did you think of how his debut went?
Look, I thought he did really well. I mean, look, the week before we were talking about all the concerns and restrictions that were being placed on him because he's going to be a partial owner or might already be one of the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoyed his commentary. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was good. I thought the way he was able to do the fills when it was time and appropriate to talk, the stuff he added was good. He had takeaways. He had opinions. All right, that's kind of like what you're invested in and into. But at the same time, didn't you feel like you needed to see him a little bit more? Like there had to be like a little bit of a split screen to see the booth just to make sure that, oh, yeah, this is in fact Tom Brady and the guy we paid all the money for.
Yeah, the voice sounded a little different than what we're used to. But look, I think the real test is going to come when he has to be in the broadcast booth for one of his former teams, the Patriots or the Buccaneers. That's where it's always a test. I mean, we've dealt with Tony Romo. We've dealt with Troy Aikman watching the Cowboys. And there's always a little bit of like, are you biased? Are you just like being extra tough on your former team? So I think that's going to be the real fun test to watch and see how he handles that.
It's Sam and Ash Injury Law, SamandAshLaw.com, available both in Nevada and in California, here with us on Raider Nation Radio. All right, and that was crazy because Sunday morning you get these like disturbing scenes of Tyreek Hill being pulled over for a traffic violation. Next thing you know, he's getting pulled out of his vehicle. He's on the ground, and it's like, all right, apparently he was just going a little too fast. He got ticketed for a traffic violation, but following the stop, you know, the police tells Tyreek Hill to keep the window down, and he did not fully roll it back down. Next thing you know, they open his door, and he's pulled out of the vehicle. All right, let's take this step by step now, because this is something that you've had plenty of experience in dealing with, and just in hearing from certain clients alone. All right, body cam footage. What is your interpretation of the body cam footage? Because that seems to be the be-all, end-all of what we're now looking for when we see these kind of violations go awry.
Yeah, look, this footage is tough to watch. It, you know, specifically because I think there's fault on both sides here. Look, I mean, you watch how the officers are behaving, and it's, yes, it's wildly aggressive and it's loud. But
yes.
Again,
yeah.
Their obligation is to the public and to ensure public safety. And when they pull someone over, they not only have to ensure the public safety, but their own safety. And so that's what really, I think, escalated this thing beyond where it should have and could have been. And the interaction could have ended pretty simply. It was when he rolled that window back up. It's a heavily tinted window. And once you do that, officers have no idea what you're doing within your vehicle. They don't know if you're, you know, hiding anything. They don't know if you're reaching for a weapon. They don't know if you've pulled out a weapon and are pointing it at the window. Outside,
okay.
At them. And those are very frightening situations that these officers are forced to manage. And do I think either side is completely guilty or either side is completely innocent or fault free here? No. I think this was one where, you know, the dominoes of poor decisions kind of kept falling, and then we saw it accumulate into an overreaction and something that really never needed to happen. If he just would kept the window down, let the officers do their thing, make it a very unmemorable event for them, then he would have been cited or maybe not cited and just told, you know, be safer, especially during game days, et cetera, et cetera. Be on your way. Good luck. But that's not what happened. So my advice to everyone is follow officers' directions. Understand everyone's doing a difficult job when that's happening. No one really, they know what they're doing. They know when they pull you over, you don't want to be pulled over. So just make it as least memorable as possible for them.
Ash, during the detainment, his teammates, Jonnu Smith, Calais Campbell, drove by, pulled over, and they now get involved. Do you think that actually helps or hurts the situation when you see this going on?
In this situation, I think it hurt because they pulled over. They wanted to obviously see what was going on,
for
help
sure.
their friend,
yeah.
et cetera, which I understand and I sympathize with. But officers are, again, trying to maintain safety of the scene and the interaction. So now you're adding additional bodies and people that are yelling and asking questions. And all the officers are doing is saying, stand back, we'll get to you. Like, he's obviously under arrest. So just if you're trying to pull over and check on a friend or see what's going on, don't like excite the person, the friend who's being arrested or detained. Feel free to remind them to ask, or am I under arrest, or are you simply detaining me? Remind them of their right to remain silent. But other than that, follow the officer's directions. Don't escalate this in any way.
That's Ash Watkins at Ash the Attorney on X. If you're hurt in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-303-0333, available in both Nevada and in California. All right, let's get to this. We've often talked about the very beginnings when it was just a theory about the speed train, the bullet train from Southern California into Southern Nevada. All right, and now we're starting to see the artist renderings. Are you buying into this? Because now we got a train set, 7-car, fits 450 people, reaching speeds of 220 miles an hour. All right, how do you start finding like the feasibility of those who live in California? Will they use this? And do you think it's changing the perception of what this train could be?
I think the biggest issue with this train is that I believe it still terminates out in the high desert in Victorville. And that's not the drive from California, from Southern California to Las Vegas after Victorville is when it's a breeze. It's up until then that's the problem. I'm looking at these renderings of the internal party cars or whatever they're calling them, and they're beautiful, but I don't think they're also practical. I mean, anyone that's been on a plane or a bus or any other train realizes how quickly they get dirty. So this like pastel-y pink and seafoam green and white is not going to be pretty after 6 months, is my anticipation. But look, I love taking the California Surfliner down the coastline when I need to get to San Diego, because it has its benefits. You know, you get to put your feet up, have
it
a few
does.
Cocktails and
yes.
work. But I don't know how this is going to work out.
You know what? That's why I love Salmon Ash Law, because you have both availability in both Nevada and in California, because people can also put themselves at a disadvantage if they hire an attorney that's totally unfamiliar with local civil law.
Yeah, great point. I probably should have brought that up. But yeah, I mean, look, we have fully staffed offices in both Southern California and Las Vegas here in Nevada. And we deal with this a lot, where someone from Las Vegas gets hurt while they're on vacation or taking a work trip mm-hmm. to Southern California. And now they need, you know, the lawsuit's going to live where the accident happened, but they need to know doctors and where they're going and what kind of insurance they have, et cetera, in their local town. And so that's the best thing that we can offer is for both residents. You know, we're your hometown heroes, I guess, no matter where you live.
Make sure you write the number down. If you're hurt in a crash, you call Sam and Ash, 702-303-0333, samandashlaw.com. Ash, we absolutely appreciate the time you make for us on such a busy Wednesday. We look forward to talking again next week. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Clay. I appreciate it.
At Ash the Attorney on X, Sam and Ash Law as well, up on X and social media. We're out of time. Make sure you go up online to lvsportsnetwork.com and download our podcasts. They're up available for JT the Brick, Q Myers, and for the Morning Tailgate. For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen is next here on Raider Nation Radio.